Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Vault Dwellers, Wastelanders, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, and I've got a very special guest here this week, somebody who's been on the show a number of times and somebody who's a good friend of mine, somebody that if you are part of the Fallout community, you need to know. Ken from the Chad Fallout 76 podcast and Fallout for Hope is joining us again. Ken, welcome back to the show. How have you been?
I've been good. I can't wait to meet who the special guest is.
Yeah, so it's you and me, and the special guest is one of my dogs, because that's the only person in the room right now. So we're just going to talk to the dog. No, you're the special guest. You're the special guest. You recently went to QuakeCon, which is super exciting. You've been running Fallout for Hope for, it's now been a couple of years.
Our fifth anniversary.
That's crazy. More than a couple. Like 5 years.
Isn't it weird? Like post-COVID time scaling is very strange.
It is very strange. I'm losing track of things. Sometimes I'm like, I remember when I did that episode and I look at the date of it and I'm like, that was 4 years ago. What is going on?
Yeah. I probably a lot of drinking in the 2020s probably cooked a lot of us or... I don't know.
Welcome back. I want to hear your thoughts on your experience at QuakeCon, on some of the fun stuff that has been announced and is coming for Fallout 76. Yes. And then I want to find out more about Fallout for Hope, because it is going to be nuts this year. There is a lot going on. There are a lot of people participating, doing some very cool things in connection with Bethesda. There's kind of a thing in the works.
Yes, we can say that. Yeah, we can.
Yeah. So there's lots of fun stuff to talk about. But here, let's start with QuakeCon, because this was just recently. You recently moved. You moved down to Texas, right?
I did. I'm a yeehaw now.
You're a yeehaw. You're down in the south. You get to feel the southern weather, like the hots in the
You know what,
the not
Tom?
Winter.
It was 108 this week, and I am still getting used to that.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, me too. I've lived in Florida my entire life. I'm still getting used to it. But here, let's talk about QuakeCon. This is an event that has been going for a very long time. It went from being the thing that if you were a Quake fan, you would lug your PC to like 20 years ago in order to play LAN party stuff with other people, and that they still have that. But now it's expanded to the rest of the Bethesda stuff over the last however many years they've been expanding this event. And it looked like a really fun time. I caught parts of it during the live streams, and then there were some issues. Some of the stream didn't work so good, and I know you got to be part of the live streams. Tell me, I'm just open up. What was one of your favorite things?
Ooh,
let's start with the hard questions. Favorite things?
God, that's a hard question. I guess the thing that I loved the most is actually just seeing people.
Yeah,
because it's we spent the better part of a decade at home for a variety of personal reasons. So we didn't go too far from home, but thankfully we're past that. And the two of us are able to go out and actually socialize now.
It's crazy
how
that works.
For me, like this was the first, what's that?
It's crazy how that works. That's great.
It is, yeah. So now, we're getting out and about and doing things. That was the first proper con that I've been to. We went to Bethesda Game Days together, you and I, which
yeah
was
back when you were up in the Boston area. We got to go to that in person and hang out in person, which was super fun. And that is, it's years ago at this point, just like everything.
I had never been to a convention, that Bethesda Game Days wasn't quite a convention. Like, it was more like a Bethesda kind of cool party, and it wasn't anything like the PAX East, which I didn't go over to, unfortunately, and wish I had. But yeah, QuakeCon, the experience of meeting everybody. I got to meet Paternalis Falls, you know, our beloved Discord mama, who helps so many people in the community, who is my right arm for Fallout for Hope.
Yeah,
that I would be incredibly lost without. She is just amazing. Love her.
Yes. Somebody who clearly cares very much about.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's so incredible and lives close to me now. So I actually get to hang out with her, which gives me a lot of joy. Seeing her was great. Meeting people that I knew from the community, people who listened to the podcast was great. Meeting other podcasters and streamers, just the whole experience of meeting people, hanging with the Bethesda team, was a lot of fun, like getting to know them as people and just talking about video games, and how much it's great when you can relate to people like that outside of like the normal way in which you and I sometimes talk to them, which is like, you know, okay, this is, you know, content creator to, you know, corporate, and, you know, we're talking about activations and this, that, and the other thing. No, it was just people talking about video games and you know, how they got into the industry. And I love that stuff. That was just a lot of fun being able to talk to those people. Bill Lacoste, who I'd never met before, is the new producer for Fallout 76, overseeing it. Awesome guy. John Rush, just an awesome, awesome dude, who you would love for his awesome guitar collection.
Nice.
Hanging with them was great. Just meeting everybody. Richard Stanford, the new Fallout 76 community manager, awesome guy that I'm going to be working on some things with, a spoiler, in a few months, which I'm excited about. But just, God, the whole experience of going out someplace and meeting everybody. And that's essentially what the core thing about QuakeCon is. You know, when you think back to like high school, LAN parties, like we did them in high school. We
Had
our computers and we do a lock-in overnight.
Right, before we had broadband everywhere and the ping was like acceptable.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, we'd take over the cafeteria and we'd hook computers up and we'd like play Doom and Quake, and we did that stuff in high school. And, you know, I'd never been to like a real LAN party, but you go there, it's the Grapevine Resort, Grapevine, Texas, the Gaylord Resort and Convention Center. It's just what it's called.
I saw your pictures. Yeah, I saw your pictures online and how you were just like, oh my God, this place is amazing. I've been to the one in Tennessee. I've been to, it was like 20 years ago, but yeah, I mean the whole inside of the place is just walkways and like, it feels like you're in a rainforest with like,
you remember the movie, crazy. Biodome with Pauly Shore.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like a biodome. Yeah.
The atrium gives that feel.
Yes.
Like it's very much like that, where you're like walking on, these walkways above like a river and waterfalls and Spanish Mission kind of thing. It's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful resort.
I feel like you could have a vault that was designed like that.
Oh yes.
That feels very vault-like.
Yes. But the BYOC area is kind of the heart of QuakeCon. It is just a gigantic part of the convention center. All of the lights are out and you've just got RGB as far as the eye can see. Everyone is just in there hanging out, playing games, talking, laughing. There's soda and snacks, and I'd never had Pecos Pete's soda before, but it's like a real staple of QuakeCon. It has to be the best soda I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Really?
It's all made with cane sugar, and like they have it on tap. So you buy your QuakeCon mug, and it was $60, but I didn't care. I wanted a collectible mug. But once you have that, it's free refills all weekend.
That's nice.
For like 3 days. So you just walk up to the taps and take whatever you want. They give you like fresh ice, and
then you go home like 10 pounds heavier and with diabetes.
You do, which is also part of the experience.
You know, I mean, it's worth it, I guess.
You bring something home. Meeting people, and that was just amazing. The BYOC was incredible. Seeing people's rigs was amazing. Uh-huh. Like the computers that people build, there were tons of Fallout themed ones where people like handmade computers. A guy next to me took a steamer trunk and made a steampunk PC where it opened and it had three tubes of liquid coolant with like Edison bulbs and like, wild looking. I took a bunch of pictures that you can see on socials.
That's so cool. Yeah, I would be so careful about hauling something like that around that I spent so much time on, and yet they make it work.
You can tell the people who are pros because people had like these gigantic wheeled carts and shopping carts and like these quasi wheelbarrows, like lugging their stuff in.
Yeah. 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 It takes me back to the days of touring in a band where we would have cases to put other things in order to make sure they didn't get damaged or stolen or whatever. You'd have to have something like that for your PC setup. That's so cool. You mentioned something a little bit ago, the difference between interacting with the people that we know at Bethesda, the people who manage the content creator connections and the marketing stuff and all of that stuff, and some of the other people who we've met over the years who are very nice and will respond to things on social media, but there's still that distance being online, and there's that even though they're on their own accounts, there's still a certain amount of being careful about how they portray things and things like that, as anybody would do, right?
Oh, yeah.
But when you get an opportunity to go to an event like this and actually just kind of hang out and like eat lunch with somebody or just like be part of the group, that's where you really get to see their personalities, you know, like, oh, these are regular people, and they love their jobs. They love being a part of the community. They love the positivity around the things that they work so hard to put out there. And it makes you realize that there's just so much more to it. And I it's hard to explain on a microphone, on a podcast, or on social media. Do you have any examples of moments that kind of stand out?
Ooh.
I know I'm putting you on the spot here, just like any moments. I know you got to be like actually sit on the stage and be part of one of the presentations.
Yeah, that was the reason I was there. So Bethesda had reached out, asked if I would co-host the Fallout 76 update with John Rush and Bill Acoss and Richard Stanford, talking about the Milepost Zero update.
Yeah.
And then also host like a 15-minute community Q&A. And unfortunately, because of technical difficulties, we didn't make it through all of my questions, which I'm kind of bummed about, because I'd posted on Reddit and the community loaded me up with some really, really great questions. And they had some really great answers, answering a lot of the stuff that you know, the community asks all the time. And you get kind of an unfiltered, honest answer in a way that sometimes, you know, is hard to get through in like, you know, when Inside the Vault article or something. So right. We heard a little bit more about their methodology in terms of balance, updates that they're working on.
All the stuff that everyone speculates about and posts on Reddit about, like, oh, they clearly don't know what they're doing because of this, this, and this, and this. And then you finally get an opportunity to sit down and hear them explain the reasoning. And you're like, oh, yeah, those are things that we didn't think about because we're not the developers.
The biggest thing that I took away from it, because off stage, I mean, we talked about all kinds of stuff, not just about personal life stuff, but, you know, ideas that we had, hopes for the game, questions on, you know, this, that, or the other thing. And one of the things that I really took away from this is that I don't think people appreciate the scope of moving parts with something like this, particularly with a live service game. You've got a limited pool of people working on it with a set budget that is determined by Microsoft at the end of the day. The money doesn't come from Bethesda's coffers anymore. It comes from the top of Microsoft. So, you know, you've got a budget, you've got people, and you've got time, and you have to balance all of those things. So a lot of times when the community has ideas, the question is, okay, this is a great idea, but where does it fit within the scope of what we'd like to do, what we can do immediately, what we can do like 3-6 months down the road, and what kind of has to wait because it would break a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's just a lot of moving parts to it that I think after hearing them talk and explain some things, you really get to understand that, you know, there is a method to the madness, even though from an end user standpoint, you don't get to understand that a lot.
Right.
Because there's so many layers of like reasoning and things that they're working on that we don't know about.
Right.
And so we don't know that like a small change happening now, such balancing is a great issue. Mm-hmm. So this year it's a lot of quality of life updates, rebalancing and fixing. That is addressing like the past 6 years of the game being built one way, and the game has evolved And you kind of have to fix some baseline calculations and stuff before you can really scale and do some cool things down the road.
Like, right, these are all things it's a bigger plan. It's the problem with being an amateur at anything is you don't know what all the variables are. So any solution we come up as with amateurs for those problems are not really solutions because they're not taking into consideration all of the variables. Right. And you see this across the board all the time. I wish doctors did this, or why do game developers do this, or anything, you know, this person who did the UI redesign on this app or whatever. And it's like, well, you weren't part of in the room when they realized all of the things that were moving at the same time that they needed to change. When I used to work for startup companies, we had a mobile app we would work on, and I was part of the product design and the marketing team and all of that. And my analogy for updating the things that we needed to update was like we were all on a bus, all on the same bus, and the bus is moving 60 miles an hour down the highway, but now we have to change the wheels on the bus without pulling over. The bus is still going, and that's a live service product, right? Like, just like Fallout 76, it's still moving, it still has to be functional for everybody, and yet somehow you have to change the wheels while you're still driving down the road. And that's just kind of that stuff works. So
yeah,
I think they need more credit than they get from the community, because we do not understand what it's like to be in the trenches at all. And to their credit, they've released a lot of updates this year. There are a lot more updates coming down. So this feels like, unless there's something else you want to say about QuakeCon, this feels a good transition into Fallout 76 stuff. Anything else?
Everybody should go to QuakeCon for a number of reasons. Like, one of the things, so we talked about, is doing some Fallout events next year, which would be a lot of fun to do. Mm-hmm. Some things that we could actually plan to do at QuakeCon and do some in games, maybe do something on stage. The interactivity of it is just a lot of fun. So if you get the chance to go to QuakeCon, I highly recommend it. It is not expensive as far as the ticket goes. Like, I think it's like $15.
Oh, wow.
A ticket to get in. Then you
you can't get fast food for less than $15 anymore.
Yeah, I think that's what but highly, highly, highly recommend.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would love for QuakeCon to turn into something even bigger, for that to be like the staple Bethesda fan base convention every year that everybody goes to. And I know you probably saw some really cool cosplay, and there's like, they're kind of already that vibe that's there, right? So to just kind of amp it up even more and make it one of those things that if you really are a fan and you've got the time to take off of work and you've got the money to spend, you're definitely going to want to be there. That would be amazing. So, so let's talk about Fallout 76. We recently had Skyline Valley came out. I've been live streaming my playthrough as I very slowly work my way through it. I've been trying to do it all on stream so everybody can experience it. And that's been super cool, with some new quests, the new zone, the new boss fight. There's a bunch of stuff going on there. But then Milepost Zero is just like right after, like, Skyline Valley was June. Milepost Zero is September, and they're already adding in all of this new stuff. They're revamping the legendaries. There's Mischief Knight they're adding. The caravan stuff that I watched the video about how the caravan stuff is going to work, and how you have to, like, you know, you've got the Brahmin, you have to go with the Brahmin and defend it from everybody who comes and attacks, and other people can come help you, which totally plays into the, like, the community environment of it. And then you can even do different difficulty levels.
And you can name your cow.
And you can name your cow.
I asked that question on stage. And I was like, please tell me you can name your cow. And I was like, yes, you can name your
cow. Oh, man. I'm going to have to start brainstorming some really good cow names.
The system that they are introducing is actually pretty amazing, because in the early days of the game, you know, you could role play as a caravan where, you know, you get a group of people together, some friends, and you walk through the world and you're traders. And, you know, when you think about Fallout, caravans and caravan trading has been around forever. It's been part of the game experience, except if, you know, Fallout 76, you have Graham, of course, but, you know, players, you could do that. Now you could actually join the Blue Ridge Caravan Company and run your own route, which is just really, really cool. Introducing that kind of interactivity and personalization of your experience in the game is something really new. Moreover, not only are you taking a piece of the game that is an existing thing that kind of existed, you know, where you would take, you know, Nuka-Cola, you know, you make sure the Nuka-Cola gets wherever, and then you got to deal with the sheep squatch. So we had that kind of experience before of kind of shepherding these Brahmin. Now you're running a caravan. These are your cows running your route, and other players can come join you and experience that you're creating your caravan route, your cows that you've named. So it's just kind of, it's interesting where they're taking an existing in-world event and making it a little more player centric,
fleshed out. And it even plays into the lore with the Blue Ridge Caravan Completely. Company and all of that stuff. So yeah, that sounds like a really cool, you know, an idea popped in my head where you're talking about this, like the idea of like naming your cow, customizing your cow. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but I don't know, devs, if you're listening, what if you could, because you can tame animals. This is already a thing, right?
I feel like the Atomic Shop team is probably like, I'm sure we could charge something.
I'm sure they could, because everybody's going to want a Deathclaw carrying their stuff around. Or can you imagine, like, a Brahmin makes sense because you can pack things on their back, right? A Deathclaw stands upright, all the boxes fall off. But what if it's a trained Deathclaw that just has, like, something tied around its ankle that's pulling, like a little wagon?
Just dragging stuff on the ground.
It's just dragging a wagon around.
A bunch of trash in a fishnet.
right.
And that's dragging
it
down.
That's your caravan. Or it could be robots, or it could be other creatures that you come across in the world. And I could even imagine a quest where you can go tame them and then specifically add them to your caravan. So I don't know if this is something they've already considered. Who knows? They probably have already considered all the options, but
I want a sloth, and nobody better hurt my slothy boy.
Sloth is like super hard mode because he walks so slow.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is a half an hour quest to go from here to here.
200% extra effort.
Right. This is a 4-hour event now because it's a sloth. That would be amazing. Yeah. I would love it. Sloths are so cute too. You know, they're like,
yeah,
that'd be great.
I feel bad about killing them.
I do as well. All right, so that event's coming. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then we have the beginning of the year sometime, being able to be a ghoul, which is something you and I talked about. You and I and Dave on the Fallout Hub talked about all of these ideas back in the day, now years ago at this point, where we were like, what if you could pick your character race, just like in another RPG where you get to be a ghoul or you get to be a super mutant or something like this. This is the first step in that direction. You actually get to be a ghoul.
You do. Yeah. Which is, once again, big player-centric choice. People have been asking for custom races in modern Fallout games for a long time.
Yeah.
So being able to actually play as a ghoul is not only going to be just, and you know everybody's going to do it, like the Wasteland is just going to be filled with ghouls for a while because everyone's going to want to try it at launch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. But I think, just like anything else, I think a similarity or an analogy here, or a metaphor, one of the two things, is how some people like to use power armor and some people don't. Yeah. And there are builds that work for both. And so you just go with the power armor build or the not power armor build, depending on what kind of build you want. And if you want to deal with the, you know, charging the cores and having all the parts and all that. But if you don't want to do that, you don't have to do that. And I feel like this is kind of the same kind of option, but it's now you're a ghoul or a human. It's not about your gear. But it feels very similar, because if you choose the ghoul, you get to be able to do things that you can't do if you don't choose the ghoul, because you get the different perk cards, right? And so it does give you more options in that way. I would assume you could be a ghoul in power armor. So you could even, like, there's a fourth of option if you combine those two things. And
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to wonder, because I haven't seen a ton of detail about it, but what level of customization will there be? Like, do you take your designed character? Like, for example, when I play my original character, I made him look a lot like me. Do I end up being a ghoulified version of myself? Or is there a new editor that allows you to edit that? Is it based on your previous design? Is it not? You know, like, I don't know how all that stuff works yet. I don't know if you have any insight to any of that.
I don't have too much. What I do know is that there are new perk cards coming.
Right.
So there will be specialized perk cards that are unlockable. And then there's also different subtypes of ghouls that you can specialize as. So, ooh. For instance,
ooh.
A glowing one, does that mean, like in previous Fallout games, that you have the ability to, like, supercharge up and do a blast of radiation? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Some of the glowing ones could. That would be pretty damn amazing.
Right. Yeah. Or maybe that opens up the perk cards that make you benefit from radiation in ways the other ghouls don't, or something like that. I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see how they do that. But also, before we even get that, we've got something special coming up in December.
Yeah. What's that?
The Gleaming Depths.
The Gleaming Depths. Is this the big snake thing?
It is.
So cool. Yeah,
so we're getting a whole new update in December, and a new Titan boss that is huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. Not only is it a gigantic snake,
right?
The first like snake, to my knowledge, in Fallout, I believe.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I can't remember if there have been snakes previously.
I feel like they might have been, like, you know how some of the games have, well, for example, you run around in Fallout 76 and you see like rabbits and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got a picture in my brain, and I might be wrong, of like being in New Vegas and there being like snakes that kind of slither around the rocks or something as you're walking around places. But
no, that could be.
But I don't know that they were interactable. I think they were just kind of these like environment things that you just kind of filled out the environment a little bit. But I could be wrong about that. Maybe I'm picturing a different game.
No, this is a giant irradiated snake.
Mm-hmm.
That is the largest thing that we've ever faced.
Uh-huh. Ever. So, I mean, we've fought some pretty big creatures. Like, this is bigger than those?
Oh, yeah. Significantly bigger.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're going underground.
One of its teeth is the size of the player.
That's amazing. So it's like,
so that gives you an idea in terms of its scale.
Uh-huh,
like
right.
this fight is going to be pretty intense.
Right. And so this is underground. You're down in the tunnels with the snake. Yep, but then there's also
too much.
Well, it looks, from what I've seen, I feel like there was like an underground setting there. But it also has something to do with like the mole. Like minor people and their environment. Like, I feel like we're going to get a little bit more stuff for them too.
Yep. We saw something weird going on with the mole miner that we saw in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know quite what's going on there. We also saw a robot on like a rotating pivot. and then we just saw quite a lot of ultracite, like a lot of ultracite.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder if this feels like an opportunity for them to start gearing up some lore and story content around the mole miners, which, again, is another one of those topics that goes way back. You and I on the Fallout Hub with Dave used to talk about mole miners, and you joined me to talk about like the dialogue they didn't use that was super disturbing, or the things that you can figure out that they're actually saying.
Yeah, that was actually never intended for us to discover.
Right, right. It was not
that was one of the questions that I asked the devs, and like, you guys weren't supposed to know that. it's interesting because one of the questions that I asked, and it's something that they've teased a little bit, is that there is a larger story that is happening in Fallout 76 that's being told over a long span of time. They've teased that a little bit. To get an idea of where we're going. So that was one of the questions that I asked at QuakeCon on stage. And the only clue that John Rush gave, he said that we should be paying more attention to what's happening in the ash heap.
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking about it. I'm trying to think to myself, well, what is happening in the ash heap? Like, what is actually there?
Right.
The only thing that I could really think of, is you've got whatever weird thing is going on as far as ultracite type mutations, because we had the Titan that you fight at Nuka World on tour. That's in the ash heap.
Right.
But as far as some other things that are going on the ash heap, I think the community will probably be taking a closer look there. But there's a larger story that's being told with Fallout 76, and we're just getting it piece by piece.
Right.
I'm just really curious to see where they're going.
Right. One of the things, and I don't remember if it was, you and I have interviewed and talked with them a number of times. I think maybe you and I were interviewing some of the devs, and this is a while back, and I pitched the idea of, you know, or basically keep adding little things that you don't note in the patch notes so that people run into them in the world and go, wait a minute, is this new? Is this here? What is this? And I have to wonder how much of that has actually happened, because every so often I'll notice something in game, or I'll see a post on Reddit where somebody will take a screenshot of something and they'll go, do you guys ever notice this before? This is weird, right?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they've been doing that, And
I'm sure they have.
Yeah. And so I'm very curious now. Okay, so what happens if we go really poke around in the ash heap? Are we going to come across stuff that we were like, oh, wait a minute? Because you know how this game is. It's a very big map. And when you first dive in, you want to do all the regular Fallout stuff, right? You follow the quests, you explore, you dig in every little building and find every little piece of anything anywhere. And you give the map a big once over. And then you get through the quests and you get close to the end stuff. So you start doing a lot of the events and hanging out with your friends and things like that. And you stop being as focused on discovery because you feel like you've already been everywhere. So I feel like it's one of those things where a lot of the players who have been playing this game for years would just walk past things and maybe not even notice them because they're not looking anymore.
Yeah.
So that creates an opportunity to pull us back into that mode.
Honestly, how often do you even go down to the ash heap? Like, there's not a lot to do there for the most part.
Yeah.
You don't see people really building camps down there for the most part. There's a few places that we travel to, like when the treasure hunter mole miners come up, you know, you do that loop. But for the most part, the ash heap tends to be kind of quiet in terms of player interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would take us a little while longer to notice some things anyway. Like I don't go down there a lot at all, but I've been meaning to do like a grid search and really pay attention.
Right. Right.
And start looking around at some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're listening and you haven't poked around the ash heap in a while, then grab some friends and just do a walk through. See if you can come across anything. You might notice
the ash heap has a lot of mines
to
go down into. And I haven't gone into those since year one when I did the fire breather quest. I've never been back.
Right, right. That's my point. Is that like you go into these zones and then you do the quests that had you go there, and then you kind of end up doing other stuff and you don't go back necessarily.
Right.
But that's one of my favorite things about Bethesda games is exploring the environment for the first time and really like soaking it all in and finding all the little details. So that's exciting that there's stuff out there. The other thing that hint makes me think about is the question of, is Fallout 76 a simulation, which seems to, like, they keep poking at that a little bit with certain characters' dialogues, and like there is a little bit of, and I don't know if it's a tease for the community or if it's just, you know, stuff that they already planned as dialogue for certain people.
Cheeky wink and nod.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a cheeky wink and nod or if it's just stuff that, you know, we're drawing connective lines between things that don't actually have any connections. But I have to wonder about that as well. You know, like, are there details that are revealing over time that this really is a simulation, that you really are inside a simulation and that there's a bigger story going on? Which would be like, if this is the kind of game that goes 15, 20 years, having some sort of 10 year or 15 year reveal of like, you've been in a simulation all this time, let's move out into the real world. Like, it makes me think about a game like World of Warcraft and when they released Cataclysm, and Cataclysm remade the original zones due to a big world event. What if something like that were to happen? What if they're gearing towards something like that? And I don't want to get people's hopes up, and because this is not necessarily likely as far as I understand, but it would be really, really cool if all of a sudden you had an opportunity to go, okay, well, I want to leave the simulation, and you take off the you pop out of your pod and you walk outside and it's now 200 years in the future and everything looks a little bit different. Like, that would be incredible. That would be amazing. But I don't know if that's going to be a thing or not. So just kind of throwing it out there. So, well, that's all the fun stuff coming up for Fallout 76. Anything else on your list of things that you absolutely are excited about?
No, just I'm really excited to fight that damn snake.
Let's kill the snake. Kill the snake. I mean, if there's one giant snake, then maybe there's more. That's a really scary thought.
It is, yeah.
All right. Well, here, let's go thank our patrons, and we'll be back because we have to talk about Fallout for Hope and all the cool stuff that's going to be happening with that. So don't go anywhere.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. We've got some new patrons to welcome, including Jordinary Guy, love it, Atle Morton Eglund, and I don't know if it's Atle or Adel. I've messed up your name. This is somebody who has supported the Lord of the Rings Lorecast as well, and I keep messing up the name, so let me know if I'm saying that wrong. And Joseph M., thank you so much for joining on patreon.com/followlorecast, where you can get all sorts of cool stuff like t-shirts and stickers and ad-free episodes, all sorts of fun things. And also, I have to shout out Atle Morton, because he's our new Sentry Bot. Sentry Bots get shout-outs every week. So thank you so much for your support, and thank you to the community for keeping this show going. I really appreciate it. I would read out some reviews. We got some new reviews in, I know for sure, but the app that I've been using is still under maintenance, and it is not showing me the reviews. So I'm going to hold off on doing those until another episode when it's actually working, and then we'll get caught up with that. So please, if you would like to help out the show, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and let me know what you think about it, and let the community know why they should tune in, and I'll read out your review on a future episode, but not this one. And then you can also rate the show on Spotify or whatever other platform you're on. You can share it with your friends, all of that stuff. Thanks for being here. All right, let's continue the conversation. Let's find out some stuff about what's going on with Fallout for Hope this year. Here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, Ken, we're back. And I know that there are some really cool things in the works. Tell us about them. What's coming up?
Let's see, what can I actually say?
Yeah, what can you say? I mean, just to start off, anybody who isn't familiar, Fallout for Hope at the end of the year, right? We get into the holidays, and a bunch of content creators, podcasters, and streamers, and all these people that you have corralled somehow. You have this wonderful magical ability that is something that I'm just inherently not good at, of like getting all these people together on the same page and doing a thing, and then raising money for the children's hospital. And this has been going for 5 years now, and it comes out, generally this gears up around holiday times, right?
Yeah, December 2020 is when we started. So we're going into what is our fifth St. Jude drive, coming up on our fifth anniversary. And we started just with St. Jude and started raising for other causes as well. Since we launched December of 2020, this community has raised $665,000.
Holy moly.
That's 750 streamers and content creators on the team in 87 countries just working together to do good in the world.
That's incredible. That's incredible. You need applause for that. I'm giving you applause right here. I don't know if people can hear it.
No.
Because you were the catalyst that made this happen, and you're the glue that keeps it together. And that over $500,000 would not have been raised for children in need if you didn't step up and say, hey, we can do this. That is incredible. You should be very proud of that.
I'm very, very proud of our team.
Yes, and everyone else in the team too.
Absolutely. Our volunteers that make that possible. I may have lit the spark, but what makes this work every year is the fact that we all have like a unified vision, which is really simple. It's war. War never changes, but hope can save a life. Mm-hmm. It's a community of people working together in one voice for one cause to say no to darkness, to despair, no to death, and to do everything that we possibly can to do some good in the world. Good that in a lot of ways we want to do in a world that tends to be pessimistic towards both hope and charity in an altruistic way. There's a lot that we want to do that we can't because it's just us. But when you get a great many people together, all doing that same thing, all working together, fundraising, you can do quite a lot of good and have a big impact. And I think that's the thing that I'm singularly most proud of, that we've raised enough money to pay for over a dozen, the equivalent of a dozen life-saving surgeries for kids at St. Jude.
That's,
so kids given a shot at life that are fighting for their lives.
Right.
That is, to take a video game community, that video games get blamed for all sorts of bullshit social ills, but, and yet the hope, love, and capacity of this community in being able to do stuff like that never ceases to amaze me.
That is amazing. And that's children. And it's not just the individual children that affects. It's their families, everybody who knows them. The despair, I'm a parent. I have two children. I can't imagine going through some of the things that these families have gone through. And the ability to give them hope and give them their lives back, not just for the kids, but also the parents and their siblings and their grandparents. And everybody is affected by this. This isn't just 12 people. This is 12 people multiplied. And it's only going to do more, right? Because you're gearing up for this next year of stuff. You have more people on the team than you've ever had before. Yeah. And there's some really cool stuff that's going to happen in Bethesda's always been supportive of this, right? But over time, they've kind of, I guess you could say they've gotten a little bit more involved.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been really supportive from the wings. This is very much a community initiative that isn't in officially endorsed support or anything by Microsoft, Xbox, Bethesda.
Right.
But over the years, as opportunity presents itself, I think they've come to both respect and appreciate the way in which we're able to organize the community in a unique way that they may not be able to in the same way themselves if they were to try and do that. So we get the opportunity every now and then to collaborate officially on helping them do specific things for specific objectives. And going into this fall, we're going to be collaborating on something really exciting that we're coming up on that I'll be able to talk about soon. Mm-hmm. A part of that will be the community getting together to build floats of celebration in Fallout 76, as well as in Fallout 4 and Fallout 3, for something very, very special that we're going to be working on with Bethesda. And they'll be doing some special things too, and it's all going to be very special and very secret and hush hush.
Right.
And once they announce what they're doing and what we're doing, right now they're just we're literally just had that conversation today. When can the official announcement happen so we can talk a little bit more publicly? They're working on that exact date, but what I can say is that what we're working on not only brings an entire community, generations of Fallout fans together to celebrate, but also is something that people will not want to miss tuning in for.
Yeah. So we can't say any dates or anything like that. No official announcements of how Bethesda will or won't be involved. But we can say that this will be another year, and it's even bigger and better than any of the things that have happened previously. And
this will be the largest thing we've ever pulled off.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you tuned in last year and you saw the floats and you saw the interviews with people from the community where they got to show off what they were building in Fallout 76 and why they built things in certain ways, because it was meaningful or because there's a history there or whatever. There were all these stories. There were musicians playing music. There were skits. There was all sorts of cool stuff. And that's just the beginning. What I know, and I'm not going to share details either, but what I know so far is that this year's event is going to dwarf that one. And that one was pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty hard to top this if we do it again next year. And I'm hoping we will.
Yeah, bigger and better. Yeah. Onward and upward. Yeah. That's amazing. I can't wait for one of the things that everybody has discovered this year due to the Fallout TV show and that getting people to actually try out Fallout 76 because they heard all the bad publicity that people were saying over the last few years. And then they finally gave it a shot. And so many people, I remember back in like April and May watching people comment things on Reddit, like, why did you guys say this game is so terrible? I'm having the time of my life. This is so much fun. The community is awesome. Yeah. All of these positive things that people have now figured out, and to welcome more and more people into that community. And then now to celebrate that through the raising of money for such a good cause. It seems like such a simple idea, but what you have so humbly said, lit the spark under, is something that brings hope to so many people. Even just being able to do a thing. Like, I know when I do one of these episodes and I put up a link and I see people donate, and yeah, or you get Wes Johnson on, right? You're close with Wes, and we help with the Alzheimer's support, and we see people donate, and even if it's just a few bucks, it's just like, oh, this feels like such a good thing. And then when I donate, it feels like I'm actually doing something, when sometimes, like you said, the world does feel so dark and scary at times. And yet when we all come together around something we love, we can make things happen. And that's incredible.
Yeah. You know, I think the TV show, the success of that, reminded people, new and old, just how special Fallout really is, which is thematically one of the things that we're going to be talking about going into the fall. There's a lot of games. I've played all kinds of games my entire life, and there are loads of them that I love and love revisiting. But for whatever reason, and I'm not alone in feeling this way, Fallout just hits differently. And if I had to think about it, I could not quantify why for me it does. Mm-hmm. It just does. I don't know. Ever since I picked up Fallout 3, it just has. And Lord knows it has impacted my life more than any other game I've ever played. But in unique ways, I think the same is true for a lot of people. For you, for people who there are people who meet in game and meet, become friends, get married.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways in which the Fallout games have meant a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think if you look at this show, the Fallout Lorecast, you would say, oh, it's a show about the lore of Fallout. But the subtext under that is, it's been almost 6 years now of me doing that thing, trying to figure out, okay, what is it? There's something special here. What is the special thing?
It's really hard to quantify. I can't answer that question for myself. It just is. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's my guess is, and this is a very broad reaching thing, it's the value of fantasy. And this is something that was discussed, and this comes from my research around J.R.R. Tolkien, who, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have Dungeons and Dragons, we wouldn't have RPG games, we wouldn't have Fallout, right? There's a direct line from The Lord of the Rings to Fallout. And in his professional life, he was a professor at Oxford, and he was critiqued by peers and other people about the fact that he was writing children's fantasy stories. And his peers, who are these, you know, highfalutin professors at Oxford at the beginning and middle of the 20th century, were like, why are you wasting your time doing this? And his defense to that is that fantasy serves a place in our society. It gives us the ability to talk about something through analogy and representation that is distinct and different enough that we can be objective about it. And then we can turn back and view ourselves, view our own world, and we see it through new eyes. And so fantasy does something very, very valuable. And I think Fallout does that same thing. And it's the thing about every time you meet a character and they have an interesting story and you go, oh, this is actually represents this issue. And now I can see it more clearly. Or, you know, like the details around factions and even world events, like all of that stuff allows us to move into this fantasy world and then turn around and see our own world more clearly. And I think that really is the value there.
There's that. And there's also, you know, Tim Kaine recently, I saw an article that popped up today. It was on PC Gamer. And for a long time, I think people think, you know, yeah, Fallout is a critique on capitalism. And Tim Kaine actually corrected. He's like, no, he's like, actually what it is meant to be and was meant to be in the beginning is Fallout is a reminder of literally what we're told, that war is often inevitable. And it is in both the conflict, the aftermath, and the precursor to that, that we are judged or define ourselves. So the way in which we make choices, we act, do you give into violence or do you choose the path of righteousness? Do you stride the line?
Or greed, if you're a company or corporation,
right.
The greed plays into the buildup for war. You know, if Vault-Tec wasn't so greedy, then maybe the bombs never would have dropped, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It also, I think what's great about Fallout is it gives you a sandbox to play out this scenario of, if everything ends tomorrow, who would I be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because the mask, the structures, the promises, or agreements rather, that we buy into when we grow up, that, you know, you get a job, you have a house, you know, you have a career, you know, you're a good person, you don't steal, you don't kill. All of these agreements that are programmed into us, society collapses and it's a survival situation. And then the question becomes, okay, well, who am I going to be in this situation when all of these agreements are broken by other people? And so I must choose to break them myself. And if I do, which agreements do I break?
Right, right. And it also plays into the whole concept of, if you really want to see who somebody is, then break them down, take everything away from them, and then you'll see their true self. I mean, heck, for anybody who's familiar with the Bible, that goes to the book of Job, you know, which is like thousands of years old. That story is probably 3,000-4,000 years old, potentially, and was a word of mouth story that was passed down generation before there were even people around to write about it. My point isn't that this is a Christian thing. My point is that this is a human thing, and it goes way, 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 way back. And even people thousands of years ago realized that if you take everything away from a person, you can see who they truly are, and their decisions at that point reveal their true self. And yeah, you're right. You strip away society, you strip away the rules and the guidelines that we play by because we're all playing nice. What happens then? It creates a dilemma. And you see this in the community, too. You see the people who go, I'm still going to be a good person regardless because I have to live with myself. But then there is that dark side of the community that's, you know, like the people who comment on my video about Caesar who want to say that he's the good guy. It's like, I think you're valuing things. Your value system's a little bit backwards.
Boy, that's a yikes. What kind of value system are you agreeing to?
Yeah, that's out there. And there are people who I don't know, this is a side tangent, but I think there are people who are hurting inside, and they see that's
a big part of it.
Like their own pain is manifest and they're wishing the world was different. And they think they can do that through the accumulation of power and domination over other people. And I think you and I agree that that's not how you motivate people. That's not how you change the world.
We call that the response to generational trauma. And I myself am born of that.
Yeah.
And that is something that you can choose to either perpetuate by taking back later in life power that you did not have when you were younger, or recognition or praise that you were denied. All of these things that you didn't get to fulfill your own needs to be a complete person. Because, you know, a broken home or broken parents who are perpetuating their own kind of trauma forward, you have to choose how you want to live your life. And it's a conscious choice. You can choose to not be those things. Fallout does this in a very beautifully unique way. We saw that journey perfectly mirrored in the TV show. You watch Lucy's journey and it's all, you know, okie dokie.
Right.
You know, towards the, like, even like the middle part of the show, she comes out, her vault suit is like half off. She's like, all right, I've had enough.
Right. Right. And I think her journey is very interesting because of that. The wrong conclusion would be that she threw out her morals. The right conclusion would be that she's now less naive. But she still chooses to be moral. And I think people misunderstand empathy, giving, service, these kinds of things as being weaknesses, as being an emotional response. But really, they are the choice to take the high road, which is harder. And they're the choice to sacrifice, the choice to fight against your own worst nature in order to do something more valuable, which is, in fact, the stronger, more powerful decision. And it might get you in danger. In fact, it's even more dangerous to you to make those choices often. And yet it is the more powerful choice and requires more strength to do. And it's that complexity, the depth of understanding of that I think a lot of people seem to lack until somebody points that out and goes, you know, that's actually the harder path. It's not weakness. It's the opposite. The weak path is to just lash out when you're angry, is to hurt right, others because you're hurt.
That's the easiest thing in the world to do.
The easy path. That is not power. That's a flailing toddler because the toddler's angry.
That is the illusion of power.
It's the illusion of power. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Fallout displays this. You can find this in quest lines all over the place. Yeah. So, well, cool. I mean, we've had this fun discussion. I think we're kind of at the end wrapping it up. I'm so excited for Fallout for Hope. I'm so excited for the new stuff coming to Fallout 76.
As am I.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you got to join me and give me a little bit of insight and us, the community, about what it's like to actually be at QuakeCon. Maybe more of us will get to go next year. That would be a lot of fun.
I really hope people do. It's so Grapevine, Texas. It's like maybe 5 minutes north of the Dallas airport. It's very, very close. Beautiful area, well air conditioned space. So the BYOC is, if anything, is heavily air conditioned to the point that you need a sweater because of all the PCs. So don't worry about
in the middle of summer.
Don't worry about showing up in Texas in August and being warm. As long as you're inside, you're good. And the food is excellent.
Yeah, yeah, and lots of what was the soft drink again? What was the soda?
Oh, Pecos Pete's.
Pecos Pete's. I'm gonna have to try Pecos Pete's.
So they are amazing.
I wonder if you can get it shipped somewhere. I know I like cheer wine. Cheer wine's like what, like a Carolina thing.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had that.
Yeah, it's like if you had cherry Coke, but more cherry and less Coke. So it's pretty good. But yeah, I'll try that out. Well, Ken, thank you so much for joining me. This has been super fun to reconnect and get to chat with you. It's always fun to, you know, check in every so often. Anything else you want to share before we head out?
Now that I've actually moved, I'm not in a dangerous financial situation any longer following the sale of our house, I'm actually back editing the Chad podcast. So Vault Tech Rises was the episode I had to stop at, because we had a lot of work to do to sell our house, to get out of debt and all of that and move ourselves. So that this has been, this year's project, which really took me off writing, and I was in a really depressed hole, and financially we were in trouble. So thankfully we solved that problem by moving and selling the house. And I'm back in writing and editing mode. So the Chad episodes will be resuming starting next month with the end of Vault Tech Rises. We also have the Starfield podcast that we're going to be dropping a few episodes for the end of the month in September. Frontier into the Starfield, that storytelling podcast that we've been working with a number of writers in the community on. We'll be dropping some of those episodes towards the end of the month with the launch of the new Shattered Space DLC. So we're excited about telling those stories as well.
That's all very exciting. Yeah, I love more Starfield stuff as well, and also more of your content coming out. And you seem so much happier. I'm very happy that you were able to...
I'm relieved.
To take care of some stuff that really needed to get taken care of.
Shout out to anybody right now who stays up at night worrying about where money has come from. Nobody appreciates more than I do how awful that is. And I hope if you're in that spot right now, just don't give up and find your way out. Sometimes it's just a matter of timing or opportunity, but don't give up.
Yeah. Yeah. There's hope. Don't worry. Yeah. There's hope.
There is.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your messages of hope and filling me in on all the details and all that stuff. And thank you for tuning in, everybody. I will be back next week with our patron chat. So we'll have that to look forward to, and then back to the regular episodes after that. And I've been trying all sorts of different fun new ways of doing content lately. So if there's something I've done recently, you're like, ooh, I really like that, let me know. I'd love to get your feedback, and maybe I'll do more of the things that resonated with you. So let me know how that's going. And then come check out the other shows, robotsradio.net, for my other shows and the other shows from the other hosts on the network. And then also you can check out the live streams. I'm sure I'm going to be playing some more Fallout and some more Starfield and some more. I've actually even loaded up some crazy mod packs for Skyrim with like 1,000 plus mods and all that stuff. So I've been trying to stream more of that now that my schedule's a little different. So come hang out with me. I love getting to chat with people while I play video games. So thanks for being here. And Ken, thanks for being here again. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.